Give me one last nekuda of the previous sugya. It may take us the whole morning to discuss, but we'll try to see if we can finish up the last point before we move on to the next sugya. So we were talking in the previous sugya about a very, very difficult rashba. The Gemara was discussing the possibility that maybe the entire parasha of Tam and Muad, all the kula, so to speak, that you don't pay full damage the first three times, maybe that was talking about the very, very strange application of Karen. But Chazal coined the phrase the Karen Telusha, the animal that found a detached horn, stuck it into its mouth, and is running around and goring people with it. But the Karen Mechuberes, which is of course the normal case of Karen, and Karen that's attached to the animal's head, so maybe I would have thought Talmud Moor doesn't apply to that. So again, at the end of the day, of course, we know that's not true, but that's what the Gemara presented. Lule, if not for the Psukim that teach us to the contrary, I would have had such a potential Havamina. So what would that world have looked like in the world of Havamina? So the Gemara says clearly, I would have thought that if you have a Karen Mechuberes, so there's no coolers whatsoever, there's no Talmud Moor, and therefore you pay Nezek Sholem from time one, from the very, very beginning. So comes the Rashba and says, why do you go down that route? Why do you turn it around and say, if there's no distinction between Tam and Muad, maybe you pay Chatzin Ezek all the time. So true, you can't distinguish between first three times and subsequent times. That's true. That I accept, says the Rashba. But why do you point in the direction of the Chumra rather than the direction of Kula? If you're already making a Havamina, make it in the direction of the Kula. The Rashba says, no, you can't do that. Because whenever you have a suffix in a zikin, you have to go to the chumrah. You have to make the person pay and you suffix. So we stopped the Rashba and said, wait a second, that doesn't seem to be true. There are mishnayos in the end of the third parak that say explicitly not that way, that when you have a suffix in a zikin, so you don't pay. Go prove it. It's like any other suffix in Bamun. So why did the Rashba somehow think that this is different? What was it about this suffix in a zikin that somehow the Rashba thought was different? So we began at the end of the Shia, the introduction of a Baruch Be'er. The Baruch Be'er raised a few important points for us, which go way, way, way beyond the intricacies and technicalities of this particular Rashba. The Baruch Be'er raised the question about the relationship between the Chi of Mammon, when a Hezek takes place, and the Issel HaHazek. Now we know that those two things exist. We know that there's a Chi of Mammon, and we know there's a prohibition to be Mazik. We spoke about this in the early Shurim. I'm not allowed to dig a bore in the street, and I'm not allowed to let my fire go out. I'm not allowed to be careless with my property. So there's a Chi of Mammon, of Nezek, and there's an Issel HaHazek. The question is, now that we have almost a compound, whenever you have a Shail and Uchas Nezikin, you're really asking two different areas of Halacha, how do we view it? Do we view it as a suffik iser, suffik deraisu l'chumra? Do we view it as a suffik mamon, suffik mamon l'kula? So that was one issue that Rebbe Achber presented. Then Rebbe Achber presented another question. He said, all these pturim that we have, bar doesn't pay for this, and ish doesn't pay for that, and this doesn't pay for shizarabim, all the different unique pturim. So what's pshat? Is pshat that it's not called desik altogether? It's b'chalal not my responsibility. I did nothing wrong by having my animal eat your food in the shizarabim. I did nothing wrong by breaking your kalim and my bar. Is that pshat? Or is pshat? No, of course I did something wrong. Of course I'm responsible for what I did. Beis Din won't make me pay for it. There are a lot of things that Beis Din doesn't make me pay for, even though I'm technically obligated to pay. There's a concept in Halacha of Din Shemayim. So Baruch Be'er suggested that it may depend on the different pturim. If it's a type of a ptur that's almost like a gzer sakosa that really defies human logic, why is it that Boris Patr and Kalim? I have no idea why. It's the same damage, so why should it be Patr? That's the Xer Kach Nemr Halacha, that Boris Patr and Kalim. Said Rebbe Achber, it's hard to believe that I'm not called a Mazik. It's hard to believe that the right thing for me to do, I don't have to pay the person. Of course I have to pay the person. Beis Din won't make me pay. It won't enforce the payment. But L'chora, in Din Shemayim, I should be paying the person because at the end of the day, my bar caused the breaking of his Kalim. But other kinds of pturim, such as Rishus Arabim, Shein V'Regel Rishus Arabim, lend themselves to this idea that I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't negligent. My animal, I'm in the right. My animal's walking in the street like it's allowed to. You're a Meshugan, you left your food in the middle of the street. So you were the one who was Peshea. I wasn't the one who was Peshea. So why should I have to pay you under any circumstances, even let's say Zdei Shemayim? So now it becomes a little bit tricky. Where does Karen fit into the picture? Karen gets a freebie, not a full freebie, a half freebie for the first three times. There's a parish of Tam in the Torah. So what's the nature of that Ptur of Tam? The fact that I only pay Chatzin Nezek. Is that like a Caleb Abor kind of a kula? It doesn't really make any sense. Well, it makes a lot of sense. So comes Baruch Be'er and says, it makes a lot of sense that Karen is potter for the first three times. You know why? We're not even sure Karen should ever have been Chayev. because Karen, it's not really my responsibility. It's so crazy that the animal went goring. I never should have anticipated that happening. It's really not my fault. And chatzi nezek, we paskin, is a knas. It's not even really mamon. It's not even a real responsibility. It's a penalty, and it's an incentive for me to watch my animal a little bit better than I did. Comes a Baruch Ber and says that the Torah was only mechayev me bishmirasi, bishmira of my shortam, up until chatzi nezek. Until hef nezek, the Torah is holding me responsible. After hef nezek, the Torah says, you know what? It's really not your fault. At the end of the day, it's not my fault. At the end of the day, I really shouldn't have been chayev to pay you a penny. But vis-a-vis chatzi nezek, I'm considered to be a quote-unquote pesheh. I'm considered to be quasi-negligent. But past the point of chatzi nezek, it's bechlal not my problem. I'm not a mazik bechlal. That's what Baruch Beis you say. So Bor was simple. Shein v'regel was simple. And his fancy lamdash mahalach in terms of Karen, stuck the tour of chatzi nezek closer to the mahal of shein v'regel. How do all the pieces of the puzzle connect? So now comes the Baruch Ber with the punchline, back to our Rashba. Comes the Baruch Ber and says, we have a shaila about whether a particular mazik is chayev or not. What kind of a shaila are we asking? Are we asking a pure mamana shaila? Or are we asking this if it had to plus mamana shaila? So comes the Baruch Ber and says, depends what kind of shaila you're asking. If you have a shaila on Huchas Bor, you want to know, is this particular case subject to the kulas of Ptur, Kalim, or Bor? You don't know, you're not sure. Is this a kli? Is this not a kli? Is this subject to Ptur, not subject to Ptur? You have a latest asafik, and Uchas Kalim, or Bor. Says the Baruch Ber, that's not an Issevehet to Shaila. That's a moment of Shaila. You know why it's not an Issevehet to Shaila? It's Osir anyway. Even if it is Kalim, or Bor, it's still Osir. So when you come and ask the Shaila, when Bezin is being done and this asafik and Uchas Kalim, or Bor, they're not being done at Issa V'Hetter. There is no Issa V'Hetter here. Issa V'Hetter has been long gone. It's been decided a long time ago. Even if it's 100% Mahadrim or Mahadrim, Kelim B'Bor, you're still over in Issa. You still have to pay the person, let's say, Stei Shemayim. So in Hilchos Kelim B'Bor, the latest asafik is only vis-a-vis Dinim Amnis. When you have a latest asafik that's only vis-a-vis Dinim Amnis, then we have a klal, the klal asafik mamun l'kula. So that it's not, we're not even asking your asafik deraisa, asafik issa l'chumra. It's a pure Dinim Amnis shayla. However, what would be the din if you try to determine whether something meets the criteria of Shein v'regel b'shus harabim? Let's give that as an example, because that was the easiest example. You have the latest asafik. Is this included in the Ptur Shein v'regel? Is that what the pasuk means? Is this not what the pasuk means? Is this called b'shus harabim? We're not sure. We have a latest asafik vis-a-vis Shein v'regel b'shus harabim. When you're dealing with the latest asafik vis-a-vis Shein v'regel b'shus harabim, you're not just asking your mom and a shayla anymore. Now you're asking, was there an Isla Hazak altogether? Because Alatzad, that it is a Rishas Arabim, then the Mazik, quote unquote, did nothing wrong. Alatzad, that it was a Chiyuv, then the Mazik did do something wrong. So now the question has now become a dual Shaila. It's not a single Shaila, it's not a Chesh Mishpat Shaila anymore. It's an Issa V'Hetta slash Chesh Mishpat Shaila. What do you do when you have an Issa V'Hetta slash Chesh Mishpat Shaila? So then, says the Baruch Hu, you can't split the Shaila. So we're being dotted. What is the Kavanah Satorah? So if the Kavanah Satorah is Misafik, we have to declare that the Kavanah Satorah is that the person is Chayav in the Aveira of Mazik B'Shus Arabim, of Mazik Yashen V'Regel. So then, by extension, we have to say, well, if we're paskining the Pasuk L'Chumra vis-a-vis Issa V'Hetter, then we have to paskin it L'Chumra L'Gabi Mominus also. It's the same Shaila. It's the same latest Asafik. Says the Baruch Ber, that's what's going on in the Rashba by Karen as well. Since he just told us that the Ptur of Shortam, the Ptur of not paying more than half, also means, it's not just the Ptur in Mamanus, that means the Torah doesn't hold you responsible for Shmira past halfway. And anything done past halfway is not an Aveira. If my Shortam is Mazik, your animal, and Beis Din says pay half, even let's say Stei Shemayim don't have to pay whole. That's like my animal. Your food, Rosh Hashanah. I have no responsibility. The Torah is not holding me responsible for negligence past the point of Chatzin Ezek. Not for Mominus, not for Vesvehet, not for anything. So once you say that the Ptur of Chatzin Ezek is closer to the model of the Ptur Shein V'Regel, when you have a latest asafik about this, we're not sure, is Karen Mechubera subject to this kul or not? That's a latest asafik. So we don't know. We have a asafik. Beis Din is trying to figure out, does the parish of Tam V'Mu'ad apply to Keren Mechuberes, to an animal's horn that's attached to its head? We have a latest asafik. Zokta Baruch Ber, it's a dual latest asafik. It's a suffik legabi mominus, but more important, it's a suffik legabi yisurin also. If you hold that this is not the ptur of Shortam, So then I am doing something wrong by having my animal gore you. I'm doing something wrong vis-a-vis the whole complete nezek, not just vis-a-vis half the nezek. If that's the case, if it's a dual shaila, that spells trouble for us. Because once it's a dual shaila, says the Baruch Meir, we can no longer hide behind suffix mamon lekula. We can no longer say, well, it's only mamonis, leave me alone. No. It's not just mamonis. It's isavetta / mamonis. And once you have a latest a suffix vis-a-vis isavetta and mamonis, so then the Baruch Meir says, then it's a whole different kind of a suffix, a whole different kind of a shaila. And b'chiyag avna, under these circumstances, you have to say something that we don't normally say, but that is suffix mamon lechumra. Means you have to pay mamon lechumra because we have no choice, because we're paskating on the pasuk. And the pasuk, both vis-a-vis iser, vis-a-vis mamon, has to go in the same direction. So if the vis-a-vis iser is going lechumra, because suffix iser lechumra, so too vis-a-vis mamon, this unique kind of a suffix mamon is going to end up going lechumra as well. So Baruch Beck quotes part of this Reb Chaim, part of this, he elaborated upon on his own. It's a phenomenal piece of Baruch Beck, because again, it highlights the fact that the sugya per se that we're learning, lohayv lohiya, it never happened. The Keren Talusha never happened. And that's not even what the Torah is talking about. Of course, we all know in our heart of hearts, that's Keren Mechuberes. But you see, even within the world of this Havamina, it took us 2 weeks to learn the Havamina, but we didn't just dray on the details of Havamina. We tried as best as we could to extract the Yesodos from the sugya, some of the really ABC, some of the basic Yesodos in terms of Mehatzads and learning out one thing from another, and Mediate Kulas and Chumras, Suffolk, Mezik and Chumra, what's the relation between the Isla Hazik and the Mamon Hazik. Some of the very Yesodos, the foundations of the beginning of the Kaaba, are all found within this world of that potential wild case of Keren Talusha that at the end of the day doesn't really exist altogether. So that was just the shirai in the ends of the previous sugya.
I don't understand. So by bore, there's no the latest suffix on the iser, the heter side, happened before
there was the latest suffix. Bore, even if I am potter and kelim, I still violated an iser. That was Reb Chaim's yisod from 2 days ago.
Right.
That when it comes to bore, nobody would say that I dig a pit, your china falls into the pit, and then I walk off scot-free. I don't pay anything in Shemayim. Of course, it's Shemayim. So I violated the Yisro of Bor. So once we already at the paskin that there's not a suffix in Uchus Bor, we're only being done on the bummerness of Bor, then you go back to the regular rules of suffix.
The Yisro happened at the moment, at the same time as, I would think the latest suffix happened at the same time as the
Yeah, but there's no latest suffix in the Yisro. The latest suffix is only Chal Agab the Mominus. The Yisro is violated whether it is Kelim Bor or not Kelim Bor.
Isn't dependent on whether you have
mamonis? No. The Isser is the end of matter. If I have something which is 100% kelim babor, I'm still violating the Isser. That was Reb Chaim's word from Wednesday. That the p'tur kelim babor is only a p'tur legabi mamon, it's not a p'tur legabi Isser.
And by Shainver Regel, then, there's no Isser at all.
By Shein Regel, there would be no Isser, right? There's nothing wrong.
So the only suffix is by mamon.
Right, the only.
Kula.
Right, that's right. In the
so it's the same like bor.
It's like bor, right. No, but this is Karen. Right.
No, I'm saying.
It's
Bor, the suffix is mamon lekula because it's definitely yisur. Shein v'regel.
No. But shein v'regel. I'm sorry. Shein v'regel is be closer to Karen because shein v'regel. When you have a latest a suffix, is this including the p'tor b'shus rabim? So now you're being done. Am I have to pay? And I'm also being done. Is it usur? Because al atzad. No. That's if it's b'shus rabim. But right. Now we have a suffix. Whether this is including the p'tor of shein v'regel b'shus rabim, we have a suffix. Are you violating the yisur or not? So it's mamash identical to Karen. It's the model of Karen.
And Tama Be'esh, are we assuming it?
Tell you, I conveniently left out Tama Be'esh. I kept on just skirting around Tama Be'esh. Tama Be'esh, I could hear one of two ways. One could argue that maybe Tama Be'esh is also like almost like Gezeres HaKosavi type of a thing, like a little bit more. Or maybe one could argue Tama Be'esh is almost like a degree of saying, well, I had no idea that it's there. How was I supposed to know that the Talmud is Be'esh to hold me responsible? So we have to learn more about Eish, hopefully, as the weeks and months go on, to be able to come back to that question. So this past sugya sets the stage for the next sugya, only in the following sense. Those who are following carefully on the Maamar Kamos numbers. So this became number 5. This is really in the Shurim Bava Kama, it actually is number 6. So in case if you ever try to cross-reference the Maamar Kamos, it's one sugya that we skip because it's not really part of some of the things that we're talking about. It's a little bit of it on the side, so I wanted to continue along the lines with this sugya. So for our purposes, this is the 5th sugya. So this sugya begins to have certain similarities to the previous sugya in the sense that much of that discussion, believe it or not, is going to be discussing also Havamina. Havamina that also in the end doesn't exist. But again, within that world of Havamina, some of the Yesodos of Hilchos Nezikin are going to come up to us. And one of the Yesodos is going to touch back again on this idea of Suffolk Nezikin. What do you do in your situations of Sfeikas and Nezikin? But that's going to be the second half of the Sugya. The first half of the Sugya is just to map out, just to understand what the scenarios are, what that potential Havamina was, and some of the basic Yesodos that are going to touch, once again, on fundamentals of Hilchos Nezikin. So the Gemara begins on the first of Ramakamus, the top of Beis and Beis, trying to map out all the Avos and all the Toldos. That's the goal of the first two Bladim of Akam, just to figure out what are the Avos exactly and what are the Toldos. So everything starts with a Pasuk, because Rashi already defined for us in the Beis, an Av by definition means that there's a Pasuk for it. So Shein V'regel Hecha Ksivi. So where does it say Shein V'regel? V'shteit M'chumish, that an animal eats something, you have to pay. Where does it say an animal tramples, you have to pay? Decided. We learned in a brisa. The v'shilach zaharegel. The Torah describes in Pashat Mishpatim that ki ava ish sadeh cherem, that if a person causes a sadeh or a cherem to be devoured, to be destroyed, and then the Torah describes two different ways that happens. V'shilach es be'iro uvi'er b'steacher. So the Torah Rapeh says quickly, v'shilach, what does v'shilach mean? Zaharegel. V'shilach, I sent out, that is the connotation that my animal's walking. V'cheinu omer, and we can back up that interpretation that the word v'shilach has the connotation of a regal, of an animal walking and trembling. And other psukim in Tanakh use the phrase m'shalche regal ashor v'chamor. Ubir, the second half of the pasuk, it says ubir b'steacher. That's not a continuation. It's not the same thing. Ubir z'vashen, that refers to the animal eating, literally to the tooth. V'cheinu omer, kashe yivayir ha-galal ad tumo. Another pasuk that seems to support it being a shein. How that pasuk refers exactly to shein is a big question. The Rishon Rashi himself quotes multiple pshatim, just where Chazal saw in that pasuk anything literally about eating. But the bottom line is, we'll take it on faith at this point that there's v'shilach and there's ubiyer, and these are both two independent of us. So now the Gemara begins to analyze them. Maron begins to analyze the details of this braisa. Amamar. V'shilach so haregel. V'cheinu o m'shach haregel shav v'chamor. We need a pasuk to prove to us what the word v'shilach means. Asks the Gemara, "Taimed the kazach man of mishach emel shav v'chamor." It appears from the Braisa that the only way we know beyond the shadow of a doubt what v'shilach means is because we dug up a pasuk that uses the word v'shilach in the context of regel. Halav hachi. If not for that pasuk, just reading Pash Mishpat alone, assuming that we wouldn't be great bekiyim in all of Nach, we would just be reading v'shilach, we would have thought something different. So it's clear from the Braisa that we have to go searching and find the Chazal to discover the Devil of Apostle somewhere tucked away in Nach to teach us what Mishilach means. Why? What would I have said otherwise? What was the Havamina otherwise? Halav Achimai Mokmisla. Ikeren, what would you have thought it meant? It has something to do with animals. Vishilach is Be'iro. Be'ir means, not Ubi'ir, but Ubi'ir means Behema. It's synonymous with the word Behema. Anach the Uvi'irenu, so that's what the word Ubi'iro means. So what would I have thought? My animal damaged how? Ikeren, if my animal damaged to goring, ksiv, that I already have other psukim for that. Yigach, we already know that. Ishein, if it's a fright to eating, ksiv, I already know, ubiyer. So what in the world would I have thought v'shilach meant? Mar says, no, itztrich, salkadayr chamini id v'id yashein. I could have potentially, again, once they were back in the world of Avaminas, I could have potentially learned pshat that v'shilach is also referring to shein. So what do I need two psukim for? If I already know ubiyer, what do I need v'shilach for? Had the michliya karna, had the lo michliya karna. So maybe I would have thought that there are two kinds of animals eating things. Sometimes an animal eats something and it completely and totally devours it, and sometimes it eats it in a way that it damages it, but it's not completely destroyed. So I would have thought ubir has a certain connotation to it, that you totally and completely ate it up, consumed it, it's gone, nothing left. Whereas if it just a couple of bites of something, maybe I would have thought, maybe you're not chayav for that. So kamash balon. So comes the pasuk and says, no, don't make that mistake. It's not true. So I could have, again, in the world of Havaminas, I could have argued, I could have presented to you a logical reason for two psukim, two phrases, both referring to the same thing. They're both referring to Shein and the different gradations of what Shein are. So Kamash Balon Debray said that that's not true. When all the dust settles, Mishilach does not mean Shein, Mishilach means Regel. So Adkan, for our purposes, the Gemara, hopefully we'll come back to the second half of the Gemara a little bit later on this again. So let's just stop for a moment and just identify what the case means exactly. What exactly do the words mean? There's a difference between something that was completely devoured and something that wasn't completely devoured. So Tosus in the second of Mamre Kamos, Tosus says Hadal Michliya Karna. What is the case of something that was not totally destroyed? If it was totally destroyed, I don't need Rashi for that. Totally destroyed means it's gone, it's finished, gone, nothing left. Rashi says Hadal Michliya Karna. Pirsha Kuntris Shachas Sha'osid Litzmoach Avalokit Chila. Lo Michliya Karna means the animal ate it. It's not here anymore, but it's going to grow back. That's what Rashi says. That's the case. That's the scenario of the world of the Havamina. Something that's not totally destroyed. It means, of course, it was eaten. If it wasn't eaten, so what are we talking about? Of course, it was eaten. And it's going to grow back, but it's not going to grow back totally. And that would have been the case that you're chayav for. So the simple reading of the Rashi is, wait a second. Why does Rashi say that it's not going to grow back perfect replica of what it was before? And what if it does grow back as a perfect replica? The implication of Rashi is, guess what? You're not even chayef. You don't even have to pay for that. It means the Gemara is talking about three levels almost of shame. The shame when it's completely gone, it's never going to come back. The animal ripped out the roots, it's gone for history. Never going to replace itself. That's for sure chayef. And then Rashi says, and you're also chayef if it ate it in such a way it's going to grow back, but in a shvach way, not as good quality it was before. So okay, that you're also chayef for. Implying that if an animal eats something, and it's going to grow back exactly to where it was a week later, you're going to see the same carrot resurface. So that's okay, it's a freebie, it's on the house, and the animal doesn't have to pay, the owner doesn't have to pay. That's the mashmosa. Otherwise, why did Rashi have to throw in an extra three words of a loket chila? What do you mean loket chila? Implying that if it grows back at chila, so nechanami, yitaka, don't have to pay. So that's a startling statement. That has to be evaluated. That has to be analyzed. Whether the Havamin is right or not is irrelevant. Just that indication of Rashi is very, very, very mechudash. That there's such a concept in Ezekiel that if I destroy something, but it comes back again, so it's not my problem. Why don't I have to pay? L'chorek, cause your loss of value. You used to have one carrot. I ate that carrot. Okay, so the Rebbe Shem gave you a bracha, and he gave you another carrot in its place. Why does the other carrot in its place, how does that somehow get me off the hook? What does that exempt me from having to pay for my damage?
So maybe he's talking about, like, he just eats some part of, like, the carrot bush, but not the carrot, and that part's going to grow back again.
No, but at the end of the day, some if there was no loss of money whatsoever, then why are we talking about it altogether? So there must have been some kind of monetary loss, but Rashi's saying, it's okay, it's a monetary loss, but don't worry about it. You're going to get another carrot in this place, so leave me alone. That's what Rashi's saying. The question is, what does that mean? What's the bir hadavar? So the Rav had a beer in this Rashi, which really touches on a fundamental chakira, really sadistic question about all of Hilchos Nezikin. So the Rav presented the following chakira. The chakira already appears in Rav Chaim. Hopefully we'll talk about them. We'll have a little time maybe today or next week. We'll begin to talk about how the Rav Chaim plays out as well. But the Rav raised the fundamental chakira about how to understand what Tashlumei Nezik are all about. You know, we've been learning about Vakam already for 2 months. So I damage you, my board damages you, my age damages you, my shiva regal damages you, and I have to pay back. Yeshlach, well, one could raise a question, what is the very nature of Tashlumin of Nezikin? Is pshat in Tashlumin Nezikin that Nezikin is fundamentally restitution? I mean, it's fundamentally replacement. I have to replace what I damaged. If my ox gored your ox, I have to give you back an ox. Now, truth to be told, the Torah says I don't really have to give you back an ox. The Torah does say I can pay you cash. I'm not arguing on that. The Torah says, Ba'al aboy shalem kesev yishiv leva'alav. So the halacha is, I don't literally have to go and take an ox. It's not ayin tachzayin literally. I can't pay you cash. But the ikaron, in the world of lamdas, what the real mechayev is replacement. I have to replace what I damaged, and now the Torah says there are multiple ways to replace. One way to replace, if my mamish give me back an ox, matov. If you give me back cash, so you'll take that cash and buy yourself an ox, presumably. So that's also called replacement of the ox. But the basic engine that's driving the chiyuv is really a chiyuv of replacement. Whereas b'chol, that's not true. It's a chiyuv tashlumin. It's no different from any other chiyuv tashlumin. If I owe you money, I borrowed money from you. I gotta give you back money. I bought a bag of potatoes for you. I have to pay you money. I damaged you. I broke your window. My ox killed your ox. My boar broke your ox's leg. So I have to pay you X amount of cash. The obligation is not replacement. You want to go and take that money and buy yourself a new ox, because zundayik. And if you want to go take it and go on vacation, it's also fine. The Torah doesn't care what you do with the cash. It has nothing to do with replacing the ox. It has to do with tzachiv tashlum bi'alma. So again, at the end of the day, it's going to be the same check. It's going to say it. It's going to say in the check, $1,000 to Pliny. But we want to know in terms of lumdus, is it fundamentally a din of replacement of the item that was damaged? Or is it radically different? It's fundamentally teshlumin. So my nafkamina, who cares? So we need a little bit of a background to understand, and then eventually come back to Rashi. So a little bit of a background to the next of the Marmikomus is the Rambam Menuchas Toyin V'Nitan, where the halacha is that sometimes you have to take a shvuah to Torah. Certain dinei Torah require the one of the baldovers to take a shvuah. What's the classic example of a shvuah to Torah? There really are three cases. One is shvuah to shomrim. If I have an argument, I gave you something to watch, then the animal died, the animal got stolen, we're trying to figure out, did it not? That's Shavuos HaShomrim. We're not talking about that now. But one of the classic examples of Shavuos HaTorah is Meidim HaMitzvos. I claim I lent you $1,000, and you say, no, I only borrowed $500 from you. So two things happen. You have to pay the $500, and then you have to take a Shavuos HaTorah to intersect denying the rest. That Shavuos Meidim HaMitzvos derived from Sukkim and Pashas Mishpatim. So the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Bavitzi and Masechet Shavuos, we'll derive from Pesukim that the whole parsha of Shavuos doesn't apply to karkos. If we're having a sichsuch, we're having an argument about fields, about land, then there's no shvuah. Ein nishbar lecha karkos min haTorah. So what would that mean? If I say to you, I claim that I sold you 10 fields, and now you owe, you know, I said you 10, and you say, no, nope, you didn't sell me 10 fields, you only sold me 5 fields. So ein nishbar lecha karkos. The din is that you don't take a shvuah on that. So those two dinim are simple, straightforward. The shvuas on tashlumin, and there's no shvuas on karka itself. Comes the Rambam now and begins to discuss the following, the middle case, which is really the background from the Zik and Bava Kamma. What would the din be if I claim you are mazik 10 different hezeks in my field? I say you dug 10 pits in my field. You destroyed my entire property. You went with a bulldozer and you dug up 10 different pits, and I'm claiming you owe me X amount of money. And you respond, well, kind of, but not completely. I dug 5 pits, not 10 pits. Is that called a din Torah on karka, or is that called a din Torah on metaltolin? So that's a very, very docistic question, very, very fine line question. Because are we really debating land, or are we debating cash? So that question is already begin to set the stage for us. What is Nezikin? Is Nezikin ultimately a din Torah about fixing land, or is the Nezikin ultimately a din Torah about paying money? So that may impact greatly on that statement of the Rambam. Hopefully, that's from next week. We'll start with this Rambam and this Ravid, who argues with the Rambam. This is going to set the stage for understanding the Rosh Pshat in this Rashi. Okay, I think next week, I think we may be easier Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Is that no good for you? Oh, is it okay for most of the people here? Instead of the Tuesday, or would